The Corian Football Club podcast is kindly sponsored by the Lodge Hotel, famous for food, functions, and fantastic value.
Hello, once again, welcome along to the official Corian FC podcast. Another week has come and gone, and we're starting to get into the, I suppose, the bones of the season a little bit after a month of football. And I'm sure that is something that Jonathan McNabb and myself will discuss later on. But first of all, thank you to everybody listening to the podcast. Always great to get people's feedbacks, good and maybe not so good, depending. And also, thank you very much once again to our sponsors this year, the Lodge Hotel, who have very kindly come on board as well. I'm just thinking, if you're like me, for example, and comes to any night of the week and you don't have dinner plans and you don't know what to cook and you're thinking, what will we have tonight? There's nothing in the house. You know, you could do worse. Go down to Elliot's Bistro and help yourself and enjoy a two-course meal deal for only £19.50 per person. And that is available Monday to Friday from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. And I would advise you to probably book a table online because it is quite popular. And in fact, I might go along some night myself. Anyway, that is for another day. Johnny McNabb is joining me once again on the podcast this evening. And Johnny, as ever, a busy week again, isn't it? I mean, Irish League football never really ceases to let us down, does it? There's always something going on. And just your reflections on the past week, it's been a good one, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've had a storm, we've had a takeover, we've had goals, red cards, you name it, we've had pretty much everything. So, yeah, whilst the next podcast will probably only be about maybe 40, 45 minutes, we could probably chat for 4 or 5 hours, but we won't bore everybody with that, I'm sure. So, but no, listen, it's been a busy week, and I think, you know, as I said a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, with games now on Fridays, Saturdays, the odd Sundays, Tuesdays, you know, it never, you know, every day of the week there nearly seems to be a match. So, no, yeah, it's been a busy start. And I've looked at our fixtures in September there. I think we've something like 8 or 9 games. So it's only going to get busier now. So, yeah, it's great to be back. And there's plenty of talking points. And that's why we love it.
Just on the fact that you mentioned there's games that are being spread out Fridays, Saturdays, Tuesdays, like there was this week as well. What's your thoughts on that? Because I guess, you know, we know the guys in Niffle and Jared Lawler and Neil and that, and I suppose one of their ambitions, if you like, is to try and not expand the league, but to try to get more people to see the league. And I guess one of the ways that you can do that is by spreading the games out. And you know, when you have games on the Friday that you can watch in the BBC and go to a game on Saturday, maybe see one last night on Tuesday night, like Linfield and Cliftonville, I suppose it's not a bad thing, is it? I mean, you get the chance to see more games, particularly if you're a fan of a particular club and don't get to see as many games as you want.
You've hit the nail on the head, Damien. You know, like, I think it just opens the league up to a wider audience. You know, on a Friday night, you finish work and, you know, being totally honest, most of the games on a Friday night that Sky pick are usually two teams you wouldn't watch normally. So I think it's a good avenue. You know, you can sit there and get a takeaway or whatever and sit and watch a match, glass of wine or whatever, and wherever it may be, a beer, and just sit and watch a match. Saturday, you can go to a match, you know, if your team's playing. And then the odd Sunday one, that's always up for debate. And then Monday, you might have a Sky game 5 or 6 times a year, and then Tuesday night is obviously a designated day too. So no, I'm a big fan of it. I think, you know, every other league in Europe probably has matches spread over the course of a weekend, so why shouldn't the Irish League? Well, I've said this before, the one kickoff time that I don't like is 5:30 on a Saturday. That just ruins your Saturday, I think. I don't know if that's a media thing. I just don't like it. So I think Clinville and Larne, if that was 5:30 on Saturday this week. So, yeah, apart from that, again, I've said it all along, I think, you know, Friday night, the show around just is quite good because you've people there, maybe, you know, you've things to do on a Saturday or junior football as well. So I suppose a 5:30 on a Saturday is a good argument for that as well. So No, listen, I'm a big fan of it. At the end of the day, if Corian played at 2 o'clock on a Wednesday, for example, I'd probably be there. So, but no, I think as a league wide, I think it gives you more avenues to watch games and maybe take in games, you maybe wouldn't take in.
Yeah, and I mean, certainly I watched last night's game, Linfield against Cliftonville, finished 2-1 to the Blues. Obviously, for anybody who maybe doesn't know. And I have to say, I watched the game and I thought it was a very, very good game, really enjoyable game. Both teams played really, really well. And if you happen to be somebody who wasn't maybe au fait with the league that much, happened to switch it on your iPlayer or your iPad and sat down and watched it, I think you would have been pleasantly surprised by the competitiveness of the game, and also the standard that was on show as well. I think it was, I mean, I enjoyed it as much as probably any of the games you might see on Sky, for example. And when you have games like that and they are being broadcast again, Johnny, it doesn't do any harm. And I suppose it's probably no coincidence. I think you got an email today about Irish League attendances on the rise.
Yeah, Damien, I think in the league, I think, that obviously comes down to the full-time aspect. And I think other clubs, whilst they can't be full-time at the minute, but like Corian and, say, even Cliftonville and all the rest of them, they're probably having to do ways of trying to get to be full-time, as in, like, they're trusting the players outside of football to look after themselves. So, no, yeah, I think that improves the product. And, yeah, look, I think, Niffl have released a statement today saying that attendances are up by, there's a 24% in the league, and I think people are just, they realize for £13, I think it's not bad for a day out. I think, yes, you get the odd nil nil, like Saturday's game against Larne probably wasn't the most exciting game you'll ever see, but for every one of them, you get 8 or 9 games that are full of goals and excitement and drama and everyone else. And I just think, you look at the games that the BBC have taken and Sky. There was a 4-4 draw. Corian Ballymena was about 3,500 people at it. The standard of the match last night. I know they picked Linfield Ballymena, and the storm probably didn't help them with that one. So, it showcases the league and what it's about. And my own personal opinion is, yes, I want Man United to do well, and I'll watch the Premier League and everyone else. But to me, that football is so out of reality; it's not even normal. Players getting paid £500,000 a week. I just find it very hard to relate to that. Whereas I know, for example, I know Garth Dean fits blind, so for all accounts, he could come to my house and fit my blind. I can just relate to people like that, and as people that and people you'd see down the street, I can sort of relate to that rather than seeing boys getting paid £400,000 a week and stuff like that. But people are different. Obviously, football in the Premier League is fantastic. Manchester City play the best football you'll ever see, but I just find it very, very hard to relate to you on a personal level.
Yeah, I mean, do you think what you've said is probably, it's got me thinking that there's maybe a connection between the two, because historically, obviously, a lot of people leave these shores and go across and maybe to watch English matches or Scottish matches on a weekend. And when you sort of, I haven't been over across the water in quite a number of years, but I know ones you have. And by the time you tot it up, in terms of your match ticket, your transport, whether it's a ferry or a flight, you maybe have accommodation to pay for, you maybe food and drink. You wouldn't be long in racking up a sizable bill just to go and watch one game of football, as you say, and you're watching guys that are in stupid money, that maybe have no affiliation to the club or to the supporters. And I suppose there's maybe a correlation between maybe less people going across the water now to get their football fix, and maybe more are now starting to follow their local teams, i.e. the Corians or Cliftonville or Larne, whoever it might be. And it's maybe they're not unconnected.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. A lot of people, for myself, I might have been over to Ibrox maybe 2 or 3 times a season, but I think now for fans in general, I think going over is seen as a very, very special treat. It's nearly like a holiday now, just with how expensive things are. Yet, you buy a season ticket for Corians and adults, £180. If you're at home, 19 times a season, league gets less than a tenner a game. So, I think you sort of weigh all that up, and You know, and we say all the time, you see the same people and you meet and you chat about the same things and you all have your routine. And, you know, on a Saturday, you probably get up at 9, go for a walk and go to the match and get a burger and chat to people and cheer on your team. And that's relatable to the people, I always think. So, yeah, I think all that ties in as well. And I think, you know, Corian have obviously made great strides in terms of improving their facilities as well with the pitch and obviously the scoreboard and replacing the seats in the main stand. And obviously they have their plans in for their overall project if they ever get it through the Level Up Fund or sub-regional fund. So I think whenever the club are trying to make the match the atmosphere as best as they can with the resources that they have, I think all of that ties in. And, you know, it obviously helps when the club's doing well too on the pitch, you know, make no bones about it. But I think there's a realisation as well that, you know, with teams being full-time and everyone, if Corian can try and remain on their coattails and get the cup finals and everyone else will, the people are going to come out and support them.
Yeah, just the whole full-time thing brings us very nicely on to, I suppose, the big talking point of this week and maybe weeks prior to this as well. And I was thinking today, just what I was prepping for the podcast, and I was just thinking to myself that the whole landscape of the Irish League is just changing so dramatically. I mean, 5 or 10 years ago, it was, you know, it was an okay league and there was a bit of money about, etc., etc. But looking at it, you know, even just in the last number of days, for example, you've got Carrick Rangers subject of a takeover from an American-based businessman, right? You then got Corian. They've been in the news over the last week or so with about a proposed, I'm not sure if the word's takeover or maybe an investment proposal, shall we say. Then you look at the sort of the clubs now and the full-time aspect. I mean, the players that are now being attracted into the league as well. I mean, I was reading today, Scott Allen, former Celtic player, I think linked with Larn. They played obviously at Corian on Saturday, and you had Ali Omar, former Torquay United, Isaac Westendorf, Newcastle United. Yeah, Linfield have got a couple of the same. And then just there on Wednesday, just another story coming out about Sam Ashford from Ayr United joining Cliftonville. I mean, those are in any walk of life, those are big signings. And you've got players now leaving full-time football in England and Scotland at a decent level and coming to play in this league, in the Irish League. What does that tell you, John? I mean, the really... things have changed dramatically in the last couple of years.
100%, Damien. And if somebody was to say to you 5, 10 years ago that Carrick would be bought over and, you know, an investment there and everyone else, and, you know, players, as you say, jumping across the Irish Sea to play in the Irish League, you'd have probably told them they give their head a wobble. That's the famous phrase up around here. But I think it just shows you how much the league has improved. And as I know, as I say to a few people, like playing in Europe, like not many, you know, of no disrespect to Ayr United, for example, where that fella Ashford's came from, are they going to play in Europe anytime soon? Probably not. Are Cliftonville going to play in Europe anytime soon? Probably. So I think it probably for a player's playing career and everyone else, playing in Europe, there's that small chance of a window. And, you know, playing in the Irish League gives you a good chance of doing that, whilst obviously playing at a good standard and training full time and things like that. So, yeah, obviously Scott Allen joined Larne today in a season long loan. And I remember watching him at Ibrox one year for Hibs, and he was probably the best player on the pitch. So, you know, it just improves the whole league as a product. And yeah, you mentioned a couple of other lads that obviously Larne have, and they've went down really well off the Scottish market with Sean Want and Andy Ryan and Rohan Ferguson. So, no, it's great to see, obviously, and Corian have obviously had their affiliation with Scottish players down the years too. So, yeah, look, I just think it's a sign of where the league's going and that players want to play in the Irish League and make a living and play full-time and maybe play in Europe and challenge for trophies.
It's notable that those clubs that are attracting those players are your full-time clubs, your Larne and your Linfields, etc. They're the ones, obviously, that have the full-time training and the money, I suppose, that can pay those players or those type of players. I suppose then the danger is that we've maybe looked at it before. It's like almost the haves and the have-nots almost, isn't it? Because I was looking at the league table there today, and they're already after like four games, there was a bit of a split in the league. You know, you have your Linfield there, four wins out of four games, 12 points, Crusaders 9 points, Cliftonville 9 points, Larne 8 points, Corian 7. And at the other end of the table, you've got Glenavon and Ballymena yet to pick up a point. It just seems that the strong are going to get stronger and the weak are just going to find it that bit harder just to keep tabs with them, Johnny.
Yeah, and you look at the table last year, the bottom six, the top six, the gap was quite big. So, yeah, it just seems to be that way. As you say, the richer get stronger and the not so rich don't get stronger. And that's just, unfortunately, this is the way football's going. And, you know, it's up to them other teams to try and find ways. And obviously Carrick now feel that with Michael Smith, the businessman, that he can take the club to a different level both on and off the pitch. And to be fair to Carrick, you know, they've signed really, really well in the summer. I know they could beat, you know, 9-0 there the other night, but at the same time, you know, they beat us, so we can't say too much.
I know. How do you work that one out?
I know. So, but you know, as well as that, you know, they're investing too in the ground. I think is it Midden East Anton were spending is it $3 million on the ground,
yeah,
the improved facility. So, you know, they're obviously trying to do their own thing. They move forward as best as they can. And yeah, look, it's tough. You know, Ballymena, they've had the worst. Like the fixture computer, I think, would be destroyed if it ever landed in Ballymena. So they've had a tough start, and Glenavon just seemed to be on a slump. It seems very, very weird up there. So, but listen, look, it's still going to be competitive. If you see in the October, November time, it's still a tough league. But it's probably just, and you know this yourself, Damon, the top teams score their chances, don't concede silly goals, and that's probably what it all boils down to, and heavier squads and stuff like that. So, yeah, look, I think that is true, but I would still expect the league to be tight in terms of competitive game.
Yeah, I mean, Corian almost seem to be in a halfway house at this moment in time, because they're, like, even last year, league table showed where they finished was in sixth, and they've proven that they can compete on their day against any of the top teams. But I suppose over the duration of a 38-game season, traditionally in any league, the bigger squads, the stronger squads always prevail, and it's the same over here in the Irish League. So just thinking, obviously, we sort of briefly mentioned it there, the potential investment for Corian, which has been in all the papers over the last number of days. What do we know, Johnny? I mean, we know that there's two former Corian pupils that are involved in the talks with the club. They've held meetings. A meeting was held last week at the club, which supporters attended. Then there is a very important meeting coming up on the 29th of August, the Friends of Corian, the owners of the club. And I think really, Johnny, from what we know, the proposal is going to be put to them, and then it's up to them effectively to decide on that proposal. And I suppose what I'm saying is that really the decision rests in their hands, doesn't it, as to what happens?
Well, yeah, the way I put this to you, Damien, like the next time I look at you in my lovely computer screen and for the next podcast, you know, Corian could have new owners. So when you put it like that, it's sort of like, it does raise your eyebrows. It's sort of like wow feeling. So yeah, I think obviously I think Randall was over. I haven't met Randall, to be fair. I think he was over last Thursday for the EGM for the Friends. And I think
what for those who don't know, Johnny, I mean, who are you talking about? Randall?
Randall McGregor. He would be one of the investors alongside Patrick Mitchell, as the two gentlemen. They've been named publicly anyway, so I'm not disclosing anything that hasn't been put out there. So I think Randall was over speaking to a few Friends members alongside Colin. I think another board of director too. So I think obviously he was answering any questions and giving his side of the story. So, and yeah, so the big vote's next Tuesday, the 29th. And I think they need a 75% majority, I think that's what it is, for it to be pulled through. But I think it's one of them ones where, say it is through, I still think there's a lot of legalities and things to sort out. So it's not as if, you know, the two guys get it on the 29th and everything's rosy. I do think there is a bit of paperwork and things like that to be sorted out, just reading between the lines. So Look, my own personal view is, and this isn't to do with the club, and it's not to sway anybody or anything like that, would be we are at a crossroads. And I think this is the most investment the club has probably ever had in its lifetime. And I think, my own opinion is, as long as the future of the club will always be paramount, I think it's a road that we should go down and explore and see what we can do. But the main thing is that the future of the club will never be in jeopardy. We know what happened about 20 years ago, and we obviously don't want to go down that route again. So as long as all those insurances are there, everyone's happy, and the powers that be are happy, well then they might not go for it.
Yeah, I think, again, like yourself, I have no vested interest in the vote. I'm not a party to the vote. I'm not in the Friends or anything of that nature. So I don't have a say on it. I'm just looking at it from the outside, probably like a lot of people. And I think it's weird when you just said that this time next week we could have new owners, say, technically. But that sounds a bit weird in itself, doesn't it? I mean, when you say that does sound a little bit strange. But like what you were saying, Johnny, I think the important thing is, and I would like to think that everybody involved in the club will have done due diligence and they'll know what's what. And if they're going to go ahead and make a vote on a proposal, that they'll be in full receipt of all the facts and they can make a decision based on the facts and whatever needs to be done going forward. Again, like yourself, as I said, I don't have a dog in the fight, as it were. My personal opinion as well, I think it's an opportunity now where you have potentially proper, not like, but investors, guys that have a link with the town too. You know, you're not just talking about some random person just landing here and just sort of wanting to buy the club or whatever. So you'd have that link with the town. I think they're former school pupils here at a time. So they obviously have a connection here. As you say, like any club, and like Korean are probably at that crossroads now where they can see the Linfields, the Larns and others with investment of what they're able to do. And I suppose the stark choice for Korean, from where I'm sitting, is the stark choice is if you take the investment, that maybe gives you a chance to play on a level playing field with those guys. And if you say no to the funding or the proposal, whatever it is, I just wonder where the club goes long term in the future, because as I said a few minutes ago, it just seems getting stronger. And if you don't keep pace with them, then I just wonder where the long term future of the club would be. And it would be a shame too, because you mentioned earlier, like the crowds that Korean are getting, you know, like 3,500 at home on the Friday or whatever it was, the Saturday or Friday, I can't remember now. Majority of them Korean supporters. And you would maybe run, I'm not saying that, but, you know, if they didn't get the investment and the team started falling away, then, you know, we know how fans work. They maybe start drifting away again and all the rest of it. So from my point of view, if everything is good and positive, then I would be inclined to go with it, to be honest. But that's my humble opinion as well, Johnny.
I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, but I was up at half time getting a cup of coffee, and Garth Clements, the Larne chairman, he always speaks very, very well, and obviously works in Corian at Linus, and he made a very good point. Obviously, Kenny Bruce and Randall are friends, the Martin Galler, and I think, you know, he was invited to maybe invest in Larne, and Randall's like, no, I can invest my hometown team, and I think that's just how everything started. But Garth made a really good point, and he didn't have to say it, but it sort of shows you the man that he is. He says the difference between Larne and Corian's investment is that the structures are all there for Corian. The fans are there, the academy's there, you know, the players are there, Oren's there. The club is basically, no disrespect to Larne, but Larne maybe had 30 fans back then. They, you know, everything needed to be done, whereas Corian have a strong nucleus of that already done. And it just takes a bit more investment. They up the levels to where Larne are at now. So, yeah, I think that's a great point Garth made. That's something that always stuck in my head too. And And yeah, so I just think, you know, as my own personal opinion, that as long as the future of the club is paramount, and I can't stress that enough, and the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, and everyone can go well, and I think it'd be a good thing for Corian.
That's a good point that you bring up that Gareth makes. I didn't hear him saying that, but you're absolutely right in what you say. When Kenny Bruce started investing in Larne, I think, remember, they were a championship team, you know, a sort of lower level championship team probably at that particular time, and the ground was a bit of a wreck, if everybody can recall, and they didn't have much of a playing panel, and et cetera. And what you're saying, what he said, is so right. There's a lot of foundations in place there at Corian. And again, similar, I suppose, to Carrick, if Corian can access some funding from somewhere to try to do up the ground now, whether that comes from a council, which may not happen because Corian probably, they don't own the ground, so I don't know how that works. But if the funding ever comes through from Stormont, stroke IFA or NIFL or whoever holds the purse strings, if the ground improvements were made, you know, Corian's not in a bad situation. I was talking to the chairman, Colin McKendry, on Monday for a story in the paper, and he was saying that, you know, effectively the club at the moment is being run on a part-time basis, and a lot of really, really good volunteers who put in an awful lot of good work, et cetera. And he was saying that if the proposal and the investment comes through, you know, there could be a number of like full-time jobs in there, you know, like a full-time general manager, for example. And again, the idea, the hope would be then that the club would become self-functioning and have more than just a match at the weekend. It would be like sort of more of a community club, and there'd be things on quite regularly. And I suppose that's the big picture, isn't it? You know, forget about even just the game at the weekends. You know, if you had a full-time manager, general manager set up in there, was looking after the club, starting to attract other investment, sponsorship and stuff. You know, I suppose it could be an exciting prospect, Johnny, couldn't it?
Yep, and that's one of them ones where you just love a crystal ball and see where we're at in 2 years' time and things like that. I know that's a very easy answer, but again, and you look at Larne, like Larne had a boxing night there at the Inver Park about a couple of months ago. Their social club is always rammed. They just seem to have done things just the right way and stuff like that. And hopefully that we can be able to get the chance to emulate that too. And yeah, look, I think, you know, obviously there's going to be employability after all this too. You know, general manager, could be a chef, could be, you know, a doctor, a physio, you know, so it creates jobs as well if the club were to go full time. So no, listen, it's a very, very exciting time too, and one that I just hope pays off for us and everything else. So no, yeah, it'd be fantastic. And it'd be something that you wouldn't have thought of even, you know, 2 or 3 years ago.
Very strange even to think about it. Even, you know, you imagine like you got up there like on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the players out training on a Monday morning, you know, like full time, and just it's weird even just like the whole idea of that.
Yeah, I think too as well. I think where the location of the showgrounds is, it is the hub of the community, and that's just not a phrase just to say off the top of my tongue. It is more or less in the middle of the town. So, you know, if the club was full time, you know, the list is endless of stuff that they could do and different events, and, you know, maybe a coffee shop that's just off the top of my head, and, you know, different events on throughout the week, and maybe people running out of the hall or something, and there's a boxing club there and just different things. And so no, yeah, it is exciting. And I'm sure there'll be plenty of talk about it between now and next Tuesday.
Absolutely. Next week's podcast should be interesting.
Well, next week's podcast, we, with no spoiler, we would like to have Lyndon on, obviously, with his testimonial dinner coming up on the following Saturday. I don't think I'm spoiling anything. I think people will probably put two and two together. So if Lyndon's listening in, he does listen in because he phoned me. So Lyndon, hopefully you're free next week.
But he can give us his thoughts on whatever the vote, if we find out the vote next Tuesday.
Yeah, or whatever. The podcast could be a 3-hour long episode and we could have plenty to talk about, Damien.
We could be full-time by then.
We could have a full-time podcast.
We could be on a big salary on a full-time podcast. There you go. Who knows?
Nothing times nothing equals nothing, Damien.
You're right there. I think you might be right there. But you were talking about Larne, and obviously, you know, what Gareth said, you know, at halftime, Gareth Clements, that is, as you say, good guy, good local links as well. And I suppose, obviously, on the pitch, you know, there may be differences off the pitch in terms of what Larne have at this minute in time, what Corian have, but there was nothing to separate them on the pitch on Saturday, Johnny. You'd mentioned it previously, a 0-0 draw, and it wasn't one of them 0-0 draws, you know, where there's lots of chances, and it was a typical 0-0 draw, really. There was very few chances. I think Lyndon, you just mentioned, came very close to breaking the deadlock and scoring the only goal with the shot that hit the post. It was a great effort, in fact. But bar that, few long-range efforts from both. But, I mean, from a good bit out, Johnny, we sort of called it. It looked like it was going to finish 0-0.
I listened to Tierra Lynch's post-match interview, and he said he was struggling to summarise the game, and I was exactly the same. Everything he said, I more or less agreed with him. So it was very... It wasn't as if there was a lack of quality maybe in the midfield. There was no real opportunities or shots on goal. And I don't think it was for the want of trying either, to be fair. I think both teams would be happy enough. The point where, if like Josh, Stevie, Glax, Chevy, you know, they were without, you know, Bolger, you know, they were without a lot of their defenders too. And they realised that Corian's a tough place to come. So I think both teams, you know, if you'd offered Orne a 0-0, offered Tiernan a 0-0 at 1:33 in the match, wouldn't have to be played. I'm sure they both probably would have taken it. So, yeah, I thought Lyndon's strike was in. He hit it so well. And Lyndon's probably nearly, I'm not saying our best attacker, but he's such an underrated threat, I think, bombing forward like that. So he probably should nearly add more goals to his game because he is so good going forward. So, no, he hit it well. I thought it was in. And, you know, in the Carrick game, when we were all poor in the Larne game, I thought he was the one that stood out in both games, to be perfectly honest. So he probably would have deserved that. And I want to give a special credit to Darren Cole, by the way, to come in for your debut in a match like that. And he didn't look a foot out of place, kept things simple, cleared everything, headed everything. I thought he was very, very good. And it's not, as I said, it's not easy coming in a game like that. And well, he made it look, not saying he made it look easy, but he didn't put a foot wrong. And it just adds to our options.
He did do very well, excuse me, for somebody that is very short on match time and match fitness. I thought he did very, very well and spoke very well after the game as well and spoke highly of the club and seems to be enjoying his time here. And also, I mentioned for Jake as well, Jake Wallace, you know, poor Jake, my heart goes out to him. You know, he was playing away in pre-season, playing really well, getting picked in the team for each of the games, had sort of got himself a really sort of good bit of a level of fitness, was playing with confidence. And then when it came around to the league, his international clearance hadn't come through and he was forced to wait for weeks and weeks, what it seemed like. And he's finally, his international clearance came through and he had to make do with a place on the bench at the weekend. But frustrating period for Jake, wasn't it?
It was, and to be fair to Corian, it wasn't a Corian issue. I think it was an issue at the other end, and maybe not even Fleetwood's, maybe just the FA. And you think of how many transfers there are in the summer. So it's probably just that old famous word, but the backlog of things they clear. So I think that's probably what it was. And, you know, at the same time, look, I'm sure Jake was a wee bit frustrated too, and I'm sure Orne was and everybody was. But listen, a couple of games, he was on the bench, he was in the match day squad, he got a feel of it. So as I said, I think there's something 8 or 9 games in September. So if he doesn't play in any of them, then we'll start to worry. So he's a young lad. We both obviously know of him and know him and things like that. And he'll be itching to get started and prove a point.
Yeah, everybody will be getting a game in September at this rate. You mentioned the performance of the weekend was very, very good in respect of what had happened at Carrick a couple of days previously. And also, in light of the fact that players were missing, I mean, the whole spine of the team was missing against Larne, Stevie O'Donnell, Stephen Lowry, and Matthew Shevlin. And then you throw in your playmaker, essentially, Jamie Glacken, out of that. I mean, for a small squad like Quinn, those are four massive players to be going into a game against the league champions with. So from that point of view, the guys that stepped in acquitted themselves really, really well, didn't they? And acted as a really good response to the disappointing defeat at Carrick Rangers.
100%, Damien. And, you know, gave, as Warren said rightly, those absentees gave opportunities to the others. And obviously Jack started and obviously Big Mitch got a start too. So, you know, it does give opportunities and people for a chance to shine. And yeah, look, I think when you go into any game without those four players, never mind the champions, you're sitting there worried, but you'd rather have them at your disposal. So, you know, fingers crossed. I'm genuinely not privy to any information about when players are coming back, but it's better not probably rushing them at this point in the season, but it would be nice to get them back. I think Josh obviously a bit of steel in the midfield, and Chevy just seems to always score. So and obviously look, Stevie Lowry, I guess he's like a Rolls Royce, and stuff like that. So obviously Glax now he's back after suspension, so he'll definitely be back for Friday night. So no, listen, that's, I guess whilst it's probably a smaller squad and stature's got, you know, plenty of quality in it, and you want to have many quality players as available to give Orne a headache as possible.
Yeah. What about Carrick Rangers beating Corain on one night and then going and losing 9-0 away at Crusaders? I mean, what a scoreline. You don't see scorelines like that very often in any league, any standard of football.
No, I was playing a wee bit of tennis and keeping an eye on the Rangers match, and then every time I clicked my phone, it seemed that Crusaders were scoring, and I've seen it. The red card completely kills them because they're 2-0 down anyway, and then you're on a big pitch and you've boys running in behind, and Ben Kennedy, I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league, and you know, big leg, holding the ball up and everyone else. So
but you should never lose 9-0.
No, 100%. I mean, they probably should have shop and taken maybe a 3 or 4-0 and left the place. So, yeah, I think I listened to Stuart King's interview as well. It took a, to be fair to him, and I mean this to be fair, he's taken a lot of heat off the players, and maybe mentioning the fact of the investment in Carrick. So, I thought that was good management. To be fair to him, he's taken a lot of, he's taken a big hit for them. So, I don't think they'll be beaten 9-0 again under Stuart's leadership. But yeah, it's one of them results in football, so it's a freak one. Because that night they played us, it was 2-0 and they were comfortable. And then obviously they conceded per goals. I've seen the goals they conceded against Coventry too. So here it's just a case of being very, very good at home and too many silly goals away from home.
I think home form, I think you know, you're hit the nail on the head there as well. So just thinking, when we're recording this, last it was A-level results were out, and this week on Thursday, it's the GCSE results. I mean, I can't even remember getting my GCSEs. It was that long ago. Johnny, I'm sure you remember yours, do you?
Yeah, I was actually chatting about this to my nephew there. He gets A-level results last week, and he was chatting about his GCSEs, and you know, it just seems, you know, maybe about 10 years ago when I got mine, so maybe about 50 years when you got yours, Damien. Is that about right? No, I'm only, it does just seem, you know, ages ago since I'd done them near enough now.
Probably,
so,
probably mine's just near 40, actually, mate. 40, not 50.
That's way wild, way winding up.
I know you are. But just on the subject of that, education obviously is very important. Sport isn't very important. But then when you can possibly combine the two, then it's like a kind of match made in heaven if you're somebody that's education and you like to do sport. And on that subject, pardon the pun, this week, Johnny, I think you went and spoke to Gary Devaney at Korean Football Club about the full-time education program, football education and football program. So we'll just take a minute and we'll hear from Gary now.
Well, Gary, many thanks for joining us. And I hear that you're joining us from overseas. So how do all our half live? But anyway, tell us where you're at then.
I'm currently in Sorrento. So we've been spent the last week on the Amalfi Coast in Italy, which has just been fantastic.
Yeah, it must be a good pay raise you got there over the summer. Hey, must be a good pay raise.
If Ollie Mullen's listening, I think I need a bit more, to be fair.
Okay, on a serious note then, obviously the full-time education programme and the GCSE results are tomorrow, and this week, sorry, and what more can you tell us about the programme?
Yeah, so the program is it's a third level education, so it's BTEC, essentially equivalent to 3 A levels. So anyone who's interested in a career in sport, so we're looking at sports coaching, sports business management. You can diverse off into sports physiotherapy with a few bridging courses, sports analysis. So pretty much anything you want to do in a sport and context, the course gives you the opportunity to do that through a number of different topics. You'll study 14 topics over the 2 years. 4 of those are examinations and the rest of them are all coursework based. So it's quite a practical course with that regard. And we give you a lot of opportunity then to go and explore and find work experience opportunities as well. Then obviously side sort of add on to that is the full-time football training aspect of it as well. We'll get 3 sessions a week, whether that be 1 in the gym and 2 in the pitch. So it's a full-time program Monday to Friday based at Showgrounds.
And you kindly filter us through all the good news from last year as well, and the things that obviously the students done, and how do you reflect on last year then?
Yeah, last year obviously being the first year, quite tough to get everything going at the very start, but when we got there, it was a great success from our point of view. We have one student in particular who graduated this year. He joined our course in the second year of his studies. He graduated, young Sam Watton from Coleraine, and he's now created his own coaching business. I'll give him a shout out, Technical Impact Coaching. And through the course, we sort of allowed him the opportunity to go out into schools and practice his coaching into Ballysally with a few schools at the Showgrounds, and he just dived straight into that. Absolutely loved it. And then we were actually doing some coursework one day at the Showgrounds, and he gave me the idea of, I want to create my own business. So I said to him, right, let's put the coursework down. Let's talk about it. What can we do to try and get things up and running for you? We looked at logos, we looked at names, we looked at how a business was set up, what equipment he might need. And then from then, he's went on and flourished, and I believe his books are full pretty much every week.
Yeah, that's obviously amazing for him. So if I'm a parent or a student here and I'm listening, and how can I get involved then, and how can I apply and find out more information?
Yeah, so if you Google the Coleraine Way, you'll get the first tab that comes up is the information page on our Coleraine FC website. That's got a quick informational video on there. And if you scroll down the page, it's got the expression of interest form. So if you fill that in, send that through, all that information comes to me, and I'll be in contact with the mum or the dad via email first. And then we'll talk about the course and suitability of the course for the student. And then we take it from there. Really, our first day in term this year will be Friday, the 1st of September, I think it is, for first years. And the week after that, the course starts. So if anyone is out there and they have done GCSEs, they've got their grades through, and they're interested in sport, want to combine their studies with full-time football coaching, do get in touch. You can ask me any questions, and I'll always be honest with you. If I don't think the course is for you, then I'll be honest with you as well. So it's not really trying to get you through the door as much as anything else. It's really trying to help you in your career opportunities, and something that the club have been hoping to provide for the last number of years, and we're thankful now we're at the opportunity we can do that.
Yeah, Gary, and final question for me then, and I know I asked you this before, but how do you see this course benefiting Coleraine Football Club in terms of player development?
Well, of course, the big thing is, since the last time we spoke, is this potential investment in the club, which I'm sure you're going to speak about at some point in the podcast. So we've been talking behind the scenes about how this possibly molds into what might look like a full-time model. So massive for us is the contact time. We hope to increase that to at least 12 hours a week. That then obviously plays into the development and progression of the players within our senior academy. And this year we have a larger cohort that have come directly from the club, which means they'll not only be training and playing with us on a weekly basis, but they'll also be through our program, 3 additional sessions a week as well. That's only going to help them progress that way in terms of contact time. You only have to look at the success of the boys who, from our club, went and won the Super Cup this year under Marty. We had 11 or 12 of them from the football club. So their things are happening here at Coleraine. And I fully believe that this program, added on to what potential investment and things that could come in the future, will only be a positive for the club moving forward in terms of player development.
Brilliant, Gary. I see there's a few tan lines there that need topped up, so I'll let you go out and enjoy the sun and enjoy the rest of your holiday.
Thank you, Johnny. Really appreciate it. And as I say, if anyone wants to contact me at all, they can go on the website or throw me a Facebook. The email address is education@coreanfc.com, so you can chuck me an email there as well.
Perfect, Gary. Thank you.
Okay, well, here, best of luck to any. I know we've got a lot of young listeners to the podcast, and any of you guys or girls who are doing GCSEs and exams this week, wish you all the very, very best of luck. And don't forget, doesn't matter what you get, it's not going to define your life or anything else. So don't forget that. You can always do whatever you want to do. Right, Johnny, looking ahead, I suppose we'll have a look at this week's fixtures, and Friday night again it is. We're back on Friday nights. Johnny and Corian are at Dungannon Swifts, 7:45 p.m. kickoff at Stangmore Park. Dungannon, 1 point from their efforts so far this year. That was the dramatic draw against Larne on the opening day. But I would argue that they maybe deserve a little bit more than just the 1 point they have to show for their efforts so far.
Yeah, obviously that comeback was a bit mental. I don't think many expected that. And we were at the Linfield game. Obviously, they got beat by narrowly by Linfield. And I thought first half especially, they more than matched Linfield. I thought they were pretty good in the first half. And Keelan Dillon, just between the strikers and the midfield, played really, really well. And wee lad up front, Joe Moore, as you call him as well, I thought completely too. And obviously Andy Whiteside, formerly the Corian Parish, as we would say, was pulling the strings in the middle of the park. So yeah, look, I think it's always been a notorious hard place for us to go, and obviously with Rodney being back and everyone else, it's going to make it that wee bit tougher too. So, and they'll be hurting as well. I always hate playing a team once they get beat. I hate it. I hate playing teams who have just been beaten, and they'll have looked at Loch Gall as not a banker, but as one that's a fellow bottom 16, especially at home, that you would like to win, and obviously they lost, so that'll make it even more difficult for us, I would imagine.
I suppose encouragingly for Corian was the response to the Carrick defeat with that performance at the weekend. But now, importantly, they've got to back it up. They were very poor away at Carrick that night, on that Tuesday night, Corian. They were as bad as I've seen them for a long, long time. And they can't afford another away day performance like that down at Swiss, can they?
No, definitely not, Damien. And I think the pitch down there will probably help us too. And it's the same surface that we've been used to. And I think hopefully that our last away day can be quickly forgotten with a good win on Friday night. And, you know, touch on wood, if, you know, 10 points from our first five games, with the injuries you've had, you probably would have taken it anyway. So, but it's vitally important that we get back to winning ways and get a bit of momentum, because September, I've looked at the fixtures, we've had easier months. So, as long as you can get plenty of points in the bank and try and move on.
It's probably a case as well. We mentioned the injuries that we're carrying, and Orne, with one eye on September, the busy month that you talk about, if there is any doubt with Shevlin, I think it's his ankle that Matthew has problems with, Stevie O at the back, and Stevie Lowry. And I would have thought, if there's any concern at all with those injuries, Orne probably won't risk them against Dungannon, given the big games that are to come.
Yeah, like, you'd rather lose Matthew here for 3-4 games and maybe 3-4 weeks. You know, because September, I think we have a match nearly every Tuesday, the way it's looking. So yeah, look, I think whilst we all want Matthew out there and Stevie out there and Josh out there pulling us, you know, getting out there and crossing the white line, it's, as Orne always says, there's a duty of care for the players too, and you're better looking after them and making sure whenever they are right, you know, they're raring to go for as long as possible. So yeah, I think a wee bit of patience is needed. Again, I'm not privy to any of this. I'd nearly rather not know and stuff like that. And I think that's why Orne keeps stuff close to his chest, because he could come back on Friday and, you know, maybe Dungannon aren't expecting and stuff like that. So, no, it'd be obviously nice to have Matthew back, especially. He's a match winner and he gets you goals and stuff like that. So, but listen, whenever he's back, it'll be a big boost.
Do you think Corian have enough to go down there and get the 3 points on Friday?
100%. I mean, like, we've enough to beat any team in the league with our starting 11. But we just can't afford to have the same sort of start as we did against Carrick. And we need to be on it from minute one, really. I think, you know, if we can get an early goal and settle things down and things like that, then why not? I think as well as that, you know, Connor and Andy have been flying on the wings, and you know, and obviously whoever depending up front, whether, you know, Mitch or Davey, or whether Chevy's back or Lee plays, you know, all of them will be dying to get on the score sheet. So no, yeah, we definitely do. But we need to definitely be at it.
Also, we'll just run our eye over the rest of the games, Johnny. Also, on Friday night, Ballymena continue their horrific run of league fixtures at the start of the season by hosting Glentoran at the Ballymena Showgrounds on Friday. Ballymena, as we say, have had a wretched start. Glentoran have picked up points, but I haven't seen them in the flesh yet. But I've spoken to a few people who said that they haven't been entirely convincing in some games, Glentoran, despite picking up results. Would you give Ballymena any chance of getting any kind of result against Glentoran?
I think if the Glens were picking up results and still not being at the fluent best, it's a wee bit scary, I suppose. I watched Ballymena against Linfield, and whilst the conditions probably did help Ballymena, you always had that feeling in the back of your head that Linfield were just always going to score. And to be fair to Ballymena, they dug in well. You know, they were hard to break down. They had a few chances of their own, to be fair, when they were able to get out the pitch. I don't see any reason why they can't get a point or get something from the game. But it is a difficult one too, and you just look at the match winners that Glentoran have, you know, Darragh O'Connor, McCartan, Donnelly's, you know, the list goes on. So
McGinn,
yeah. So I think it'll be a tight game. Junior as well, obviously, up front. But I would just, again, it wouldn't surprise me if Ballymena were beaten by a single goal again, you know, happened against us, Linfield. And so I wouldn't be surprised if that was to happen.
It's difficult. And I suppose the longer that run goes on without a win, the impact that it has in confidence around Ballymena as well. Because Jim Irvine is obviously, this is his first managerial role. He has been handed a tough hand to play with. But if he doesn't get a positive, it just makes life so difficult. It'd be like five games, no wins. It's, even at this early stage of the season, Johnny, you're playing catch up and you're not where you want to be. That's hard.
It is hard, but I think they give them credit. I don't think they're getting absolutely, you know, beat easy, or, you know, it's like a 4-0 drubbing, and, you know, they're playing bad. You know, the first half against Larne, they were 0-0, and I watched the highlights and they switched it off and conceded against us. They were leading, it was a narrow 2-1. Linfield was a tough one. I think the only one they maybe didn't show up against was against Crusaders, so that's been a tough start, but it's not as if they're getting absolutely steamrolled and not fighting. So I think once they get Friday out of the way, I think they'll be a bit more relieved. They'll be starting to play in teams, you know, in and around them. I think they've Carrick and Glenavon after that, both away, which again are difficult games. So I think, strangely enough, I'd rather be in their position than being Glenavon's. I think Glenavon beaten by Newry and other teams as well. No Narlock, they'll probably turn up for against us in October. So listen, I think, you know, I think Glenavon are crying out for a striker or something. They just puts the ball in the back of the net, and, you know, Ballymena of Johnny McMurray and guys like that who can grab you a goal. So strangely enough, a lot has been made about Ballymena, but nearly probably rather be in their position than Glenavon at the moment.
You mentioned Glenavon. They have a tricky looking game on Friday night away to Loughgall.
That's going to be a tough one. And again, like, the league's that weird. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if Glenavon won that game 3-0 or lost it 3-0, or it was a 3-0 draw. It's just it is a tough league. We've been to Loughgall. We had a very difficult second half. So did Glentoran, by all accounts, the Tuesday after that. So, and Loughgall obviously won twice in the road. So they'll be buzzing by their start. Text Dean Smith there after they beat Dungannon and saying, this crack's easy, isn't it? And they just laugh. So I would, if Corian were playing, I'd nearly take that game in. I think it'd be a good game, bit of a derby too. And
is a derby, isn't it?
I think it'll be plenty of goals in that. I do think it'll be a really good game to watch.
Could be a draw, that one, I think.
I think Glenavon would probably take a draw. If you were to lock all 7 points from their first five games back, I think they would take that too.
Some going, like,
so yeah, I wouldn't argue with it all there, do you mean, to be honest.
And then we move quickly on to Saturday. Wonder how Newry City are feeling. They play Crusaders at home on Saturday, and I'm sure they must be sitting thinking, watching that game last night, or maybe seeing the goals come in last night at Seaview, thinking, oh, we play these boys on Saturday. I mean, for a start, I think Ben Kennedy, you know, even just the sight of him coming out on the pitch at Newry Showgrounds on Saturday would be enough to sort of make you quick in your boots, never mind all the rest of them. I mean, but having said that, maybe Newry City's a difficult place to go, isn't it?
They've been a bit like Loch Gall this year, where they've been beaten twice at home 3-0 and won both away on the road. So if it was at Seaview, they might be a wee bit more confident. But yeah, look, that's a tough one. I think Crusaders are going to be dark horses. Said that from the start.
Mm-hmm.
The recruitment was done early, and they signed really well as well. And they have a nucleus of squad there that have been there for about 3 or 4 years.
And see their squad too. The size of the squad and mm-hmm. the players in that squad. I was looking at it one day, and I was just like, "God."
Yeah, like they really bring on to Winchester last night, for example, and players like that. So, but yeah, look, I think you're right. You know, Gary Boyle will want to try and get as many points as he can, obviously, at home, the new manager and things like that. But again, I don't think there'll be many goals in that one, Damien, to be honest. I think that'll be a grinding out session for Crusaders, maybe. Maybe like a 2-0 or 2-1. But again, you're a tough, tough place to go.
Again, it may be a tough place, but I think it's like what we say, these top teams have got match winners, haven't they?
Yeah.
And that can be the difference in tight games. So, wouldn't be surprised for Crusaders to somehow get a win there. Also, a second of three games on Saturday. Linfield at home again to Carrick Rangers. Two teams got into that game in completely different mindsets. I mean, again, you look at it, all the indicators would say Linfield win. Would you think that? Would you agree with that, do you think?
I wouldn't argue against it. Rumour has it Stuart King's route into the league to try and play two goalkeepers after Tuesday night. But look, football's a strange game. Like, that could be one of the games where Linfield only won 1-0, or, you know, where Carrick take the lead. Football's just a strange game, Damien. But yes, look, I would expect Linfield to win and win well. Joel Cooper is flying. And I've done a piece in the newsletter this week about how I think Chris McKee's the most underrated player in the league. Said it for a long time, his runs and everything. I just think, as an all-round striker, I don't think there's many better than him in the league. I think he's a brilliant player. So
he started this season really well.
Yeah, six goals he's got this year. It took him the January the 30th of last season to get to that total. So
mm-hmm.
He's flying. And you know, a lot was obviously made about when from Tynan was going and things like that. And Chris McKee stayed. And, you know, and obviously a lot was made about Fitzy signing too. Yet Chris McKee's been the main man. So, no, fair play to him. So, yeah, look, I do expect Linfield to win, but I think as well, if after being beaten 9-0, and I do think there's bound to be a reaction from the crowd.
There's bound to be, isn't there?
Yeah.
You would like to think so.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you know, they're playing, like, we know Stuart's a passionate guy, but you need to understand the players have a sense of pride there too. Like, I'm sure Joe Crowe's never lost 9-0 in his career. Or, you know, Danny Perkis or guys like that. So they'll want to try and put some right.
And wrapping the game up, or the weekend up, I should say, is a rarity in the Irish League, Saturday tea time game, 5:30, and that's Cliftonville at home to Larne. And I'm just thinking, like, if you were, like, say Corian played on the Friday, like, if you were inclined to go and watch a match, that's the kind of game that you would like to go and watch, isn't it?
It is, but as I said at the start of the show, 8:55 kickoffs. but yeah, look, if it was near there, it would absolutely, yeah, it would be a really, really good match to go to, I think. That's two teams that try and play football the right way, to be fair to them, so that'll be a good one. I think, obviously, Larne, if you bring your boots, Damien, you might get a game in defence by all accounts with the amount of guys they have out, Levi Ives and Cosgrove and Want and Bolger and Donnelly. I think they're all struggling, so it could be interesting to see who lines up in the back line for them. I'm expecting Jeff Hughes or something to come out of retirement or something like that. So,
and then just to rub insult into the wound, Jim McGillick was out and buys a striker today.
Yeah, I know. Hey. So, interesting to see. But I think that'll also be a draw, to be honest with you. I think it'll be tight enough. Something will be smarting after a defeat on Tuesday night, especially after equalising and then conceding within, a matter of minutes. So, I think that'll be really good in the eye. So I'll probably watch it on Saturday night and with a Chinese and a glass of wine, I think. So, but no,
you don't like a Chinese, sure.
Dervic Chinese. I'm going to give him a free plug in the podcast here.
It's, oh, aye. you'll not have to pay for yours now on Saturday night. Very we'll good, see. Johnny. I like your style. Hi.
We'll see.
Your style. You say about a draw. I would say it's kind of one of those games where if you offered both managers a draw now, they would almost be sort of, they would nearly take it, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they probably would. I think, obviously, Clifford will have a few out injured. I think, is it maybe Joe Gormley struggling? And Ronan Hale struggling too. So, yeah, I think obviously top six teams playing each other, you don't want to give too much away either. You'd rather... yes, you'd love to win, but you really, really don't want to lose either. So.
It is. Sometimes, like we seen it a lot last year, the top six teams, when they played each other, it was almost a case of not losing, not wanting to lose almost more than
not wanting to win.
To get the win, which I suppose is, you can understand it to a certain extent, but in the long run, it's like there's a big difference between the 3 points and the 1 point. So, but point to point, Johnny.
That's no. It. Sometimes you need to just take your point and run.
That's like Rangers last night, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it was a draw last night. So big game in Eindhoven next Wednesday. So, personally, not on my knee, run, but I think PSV are better than they were last year.
Mm.
So that'll be a tough one. But listen, it was 2-each after the first leg last year. Ibrox and Rangers won the second leg 1-0, so we'll take that again.
Yeah. Oh, spring's eternal. Right, well, here, we've had a good old chinwag here for about an hour, Johnny. Wrapping up here, you just mentioned, I'm just looking here at September's fixtures, because you mentioned that a few times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games, including Linfield, Glentoran, Cliftonville and Crusaders.
Yeah, and Hamilton and the Scottish thing and the North West Cup. So, yeah, look, I think the league games are all crackers. I think there's Newry in there as well. So there's all cracking games for us. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. 3 different competitions by the time you're in September. So that's a bit surreal. So,
yeah. And possibly new owners.
And possibly new owners, Damon, yeah. So... next time you're on this podcast, you'll be wearing a lovely brand new tuxedo suit and stuff.
I'll be wearing a 3-piece suit, man.
Yeah, I'll Sir Damien Mullen, they'll be calling you.
we'll be sitting in our own brand new studio, will we?
don't push your luck. Don't push your luck.
All expenses paid. Just on the, you just mentioned it briefly there, but that Scottish Challenge Cup, for anybody that isn't aware, Corian were in the draw and are home to Hamilton, who I believe won it last year. Is that correct?
They did, Damien. They beat Raith Rovers in the final, but they were relegated last year at the Scottish Championship, which I didn't realise until the draw was made. I did know they were struggling, but I never realised they were relegated in the Championship League One playoff. So I can't mind who beat them, but they lost in penalties. I think it might be Erionians beat them. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they take the competition, as to how Corian take the competition. But I think I never realised that if one Irish League team was at home, the other one had to be away, or you know, only one could be away, sorry. So I think if you're going to be at home, you'd rather play a top team, and like Hamilton were in the SPL proper, you know, a few years ago. And they won the competition last year. And so that'll be a good crowd. I think that's probably one of the best home games you could have got in it. So
And how do you think Oran and the club will approach that game? I mean, I suppose when you're in it, it's again a competition. You have a degree of pride if you're a manager or a player. If you're in a competition, you want to try to play to win it, don't you?
Of course you do. And I think, you know, cup competitions breed confidence too, you know. So I personally, if you're in it, you know, you're in it there on merit, and you might as well try and give it a go and, you know, test yourself against Hamilton, who are, you know, in my opinion, they're a Scottish Championship team, let's be honest. So to test yourself at that level, we'll see how far you are and how far you go. But again, look, we haven't had much luck on the injury front so far this season, so whether or not Oran rotates the squad and gives a rest to a few people, like, who knows? I think the big advantage is that the games are at the week or on the weekend.
So yeah,
the week or anything like that. But obviously, it means if you go through, obviously, games that are on a Saturday will have to be.
But that's an important aspect, because Corian play Linfield on the 2nd of September. The Hamilton game is on the 9th, and then it's a week later they play Newry. So it's not like it's crammed in a midweek where then you have to juggle your players in a 3-game week. So it does give you a little bit of a breathing space.
Yeah, it does. The 3 games a week will obviously come. I think it's, is it Glentoran's? The Glentoran's actually the Friday night, which is even, so it's even better. And then Cliftonville games the Tuesday, and Crusaders is the Saturday. So that's a lovely 3-run of fixtures. That supercomputer there done us a favour. But listen, that, you know, I always say you always have to play the teams at some point, home and away. So there's not much point worrying about it. We can beat all three of them on our day. We can get beat by all three of them on their day. So yeah, those are the games that you want to be involved in. So
and you know what? You know, you and I both know from talking to opposition managers and players that nobody really likes playing Corian either, because they respect Corian as a hard team to play against. So it works both ways. Well, you may be thinking, oh, Glentoran and Cliftonville Crusaders is a hard run. You know, those teams don't want to be playing Corian either.
Nail on the head. And I think, you know, Warren, you know, we know Warren the best. He won't even be thinking as far ahead as after Dungannon.
No.
Let's be honest. So a lot can change before then, Damien, in terms of injuries, suspensions, different things. For all we know, we could sign somebody and deadline, you know, by the next time a podcast happens, you know, there could be a new signing. Who knows? You know, deadline day, that sort of thing. So who knows? Like, this time last week, we didn't think Carrick Rangers would have a new owner. So, you know, football is just an absolute crazy game. So
as I said the other day, I says I never thought I'd see Carrick Rangers and Estee Lauder in the same sentence ever.
Nah, I did laugh at that. You sent me that one day before.
The world's a strange place, Johnny. So anyway, all that is for another day. For the time being, I would just like to say thank you to Johnny for joining me this evening. Best of luck, everybody that's doing or getting GCSE results, and don't forget, check out the full-time education and football program at the Corian Showgrounds as a possible option regarding your future. And also, again, thank you to our good friends and sponsors at the Lodge Hotel. And remember the deal that we talked about earlier between 5 and 6.30 p.m., which is always good if you can't be bothered cooking or you can't find anything in the freezer that suits your taste that evening. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for all your feedback. As Johnny mentioned, we hope to have maybe Lyndon Kane next week in the run-up to his testimonial dinner, for which I believe the tickets are selling really, really well. I don't think there's too many left. So if you have not bought your ticket and you want to go, I suggest you maybe go and get your ticket sorted very, very, very soon in the Lodge Hotel. That really brings us, I suppose, to the end of this week's podcast. As we've mentioned before, a very important meeting coming up next Tuesday. The Friends of Corian, I suppose, when you look at it, they have a big decision to make, and it may have implications for the future of Corian Football Club, but that is for the members to decide. We will have all the latest on that in next week's podcast. We'll have a chat about that and maybe what it means going forward for the Bandsiders. So from Johnny and from myself, thank you very much for listening. Take care. And as ever, come on the Bandsiders.